Welcome to today's episode of the Sink or Swim podcast. I'm Hiam Allen, a fourth year medical student at Nova Southeastern University, and today I'm going to be your host. Today we're going to be talking about one of the most transformative and challenging experiences in your medical journey, your first year of medical school. Before though we get into the episode, I wanted to congratulate you all for getting to this point of your journey. It's not a small accomplishment. As a fourth year student, I have been reflecting on my medical school experience, especially as I have been applying to residencies and interviewing. And I will say, my first year of medical school was my most challenging year, but I can also say it was extremely rewarding. For me, it was a period of growth. And now, 3 years later, I look back on the first year with fondness, but there was a substantial learning curve as well. Probably one of the most difficult parts for me during first year was being away from my family. Although my medical school is only a few hours away from where I grew up and where my family lives, this was the first time that I was this far from them. And one of the first times where I moved to a completely unfamiliar city where I did not know many people. Although I wouldn't change anything about my journey because it has made me who I am and has led me to my desired path, there were several things that I learned during this time. I hope to share with you all some of my mistakes, tips, and personal insight that I have gained in order to help you all adjust to this exciting but stressful time in your lives. As someone who has been through this journey, I can personally relate to the excitement, stress, and adjustment that comes with starting medical school. From tackling endless study material to finding balance in a fast-paced environment, I've experienced it all. My goal with you is to share insights from my own journey to help you navigate this pivotal time with confidence and clarity. The first year can feel like a whirlwind because of new environments, it's much heavier workload, and balancing academic and personal life. But by the end of this episode, I hope you all will have gained some tips and tricks to help you with this adjustment. So, during this episode, we're going to be talking about time management. We're going to be talking about how to plan a schedule, how to prioritize tasks. We're going to talk about what stress and burnout are and how to identify them, and then steps that you can take to help mitigate them. I'm going to be sharing some of my study techniques that I've been using as a medical student. And I'm going to be talking also about the importance of building a community in medical school. And then I'm going to share with you all some of the resources that I used to help me through this first year. So let's get started into the episode. Transitioning to medical school can be overwhelming. Unlike undergrad, where the pace of learning might allow for more flexibility, medical school is a lot more of an accelerated timeline with a massive amount of material to cover. And concepts now are going to require a deeper understanding and application rather than just memorization. Also, the learning environment now is much more self-directed. Professors in medical school may outline the material, but the responsibility to actually master it is going to fall on you and for you to actually have a deeper understanding of it. So, for instance, in my case, when I was in my first 2 years of medical school, lectures were optional to attend. So they were also recorded so I could review them on my own time. And so in medical school, I definitely noticed there was a shift from structured lectures to more problem-based learning or clinical case discussions. And initially, that is a bigger adjustment just because in undergrad, we're so used to just memorizing this versus now we have to also apply it. And also in medical school, there is more independence in regards to how you study and when you study. So you can study whenever you want. Before medical school, I used to prefer studying at night, but in medical school, I kind of found that wasn't as helpful to me, especially when I did have to wake up earlier for classes and things like that. And so, also, those couple hours at night were not enough studying. I realized that I need to study much more. And then another key difference is also going to be the intensity of the workload. So in undergrad, exams might be spaced out and you might not have as much material on one exam versus in medical school, you may have back-to-back assessments. And so time management is going to become an essential skill in medical school. And if you learn it earlier, it's going to help you a lot more. And then beyond academics, there's also the pressure to excel in medical school, and it can be sometimes competitive, and that can add some more strain. So for me, I was very fortunate though that all my peers were extremely supportive, so I didn't feel like medical school is a competition. Before entering medical school, I was consistently at the top of my class. However, in medical school, now you're surrounded with other peers who also excelled academically and were at the top of their respective classes. So this created an environment where it can be challenging to find your place and adjust to no longer being the standout student or being top of your class. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming to have to go from being one of the smartest in your class to being, in a group now where excellence is the norm and you may fall more in the middle. And so this shift requires, like I said, a significant mental adjustment because success is no longer defined by standing out or being top of your class, because now you're in a cohort of equally talented individuals. And so it's really going to challenge your self-perception and force you to redefine what success and personal growth look like. And so for me, that was a little difficult just coming from when I was an undergrad, I was always top of my class. And then, medical school, now I'm kind of more in the middle, because everybody else is so smart as well. And so you're really gonna learn to appreciate your own contributions, and you're going to be humble throughout this process. It is humbling, but it is also deeply rewarding because now it's gonna push you to grow, push you to wanna be better, to improve, and to learn from those around you. And so balancing this all while maintaining well-being is a challenge, especially in the beginning of medical school. But recognizing these differences early can help you develop the right mindset and the strategies to thrive. So for me, what helped me with this really was building a routine. So for me, I created a structured schedule that balanced my classes, study time, self-care, and social activities. So I really tried to wake up every day around the same time, go to bed the same time, and I made a schedule of kind of when I was going to be in class, when I was studying, and then if I had any, personal or social events going on, then I would also schedule them in my schedule. So you really should allocate blocks for lecture, studying, reviewing material, and then also breaks as well. And so for me, on average, I aimed for about 4 to 6 hours of studying each day. And then on the weekends, I would do a little more, probably closer to 6 to 8 hours at least. And then you also want to, and but again, that's also going to depend on if you have an exam or not upcoming. So for me, if I had an exam the upcoming week, then I'm definitely going to be studying a lot more the week prior. But if I had just finished an exam, then maybe it would be, a lighter study week. And again, every day would look different, but I think that really just helped me keep me on task, also helped hold me accountable, and that way I also knew what I needed to do and how much I had been studying for that day. And you should also prioritize active learning methods, like doing practice questions or teaching concepts to others, because I think that's really going to help solidify the material instead of just like reading it on your laptop. And then in addition, you want to incorporate self-care activities like exercise or hobbies to maintain your mental and physical health. So again, build those into your schedule and put them on your scheduling app to make sure that you're doing what makes you feel better, makes you feel happier. And then also don't forget about planning your meals ahead of time. This is going to save you time and also ensure that you have balanced nutrition. And then don't forget to schedule social activities or downtime. And so a well-rounded routine is going to help you stay focused and avoid burnout. And then you can also, while also meeting the demands of medical school. And so for me, I used Excel to create a daily schedule that I would follow. And, every week, in the beginning of the week, I would create this schedule. Obviously, from day to day, it might change or look a little different, but you can also use like your calendar app on your phone or on your laptop, just whatever works better for you. Also, in medical school, it's going to be very important to find your community. So, you really want to build relationships with your classmates, and you can do this through study groups, clubs, or meetups. And this is really going to help provide emotional support for you, collaborative learning opportunities, and shared resources. And also, in medical school, try to seek mentors like upperclassmen or faculty members who can kind of help guide you, share their experiences, and help you navigate any challenges that you may encounter in medical school. Also, getting involved in extracurricular activities or interest groups is another excellent way to expand your network and find other peers that are interested in the same things as you. And so, having a support system in medical school is going to make it feel a lot less isolating and much more manageable. So, definitely, any way you can connect with classmates or kind of find your own friend group, I think it's going to be really important. It's really going to help you get through those difficult times in medical school, especially in the beginning. Also, transitioning to medical school involves a steep learning curve. It's going to be in multiple areas. It's not just academic, it's also going to be social and personal. So, it's important to accept that feeling uncertain or struggling initially is going to be completely normal. And trust me, your other classmates are going to feel the same way that you do. And, I felt that way when I first started medical school. And so, recognizing that medical school is designed to challenge and grow you, and progress often comes from persistence rather than perfection. So, focus on those small, consistent improvements and do not compare yourself to others because we're all, growing and learning and improving in different ways. And so, celebrate, your milestones, no matter how small they may seem, because that's just proof to you of how resilient you are and how much you can adapt. And also, it's going to be very important to build a mindset that embraces mistakes as learning opportunities. Because if you don't make mistakes, trust me, you're not going to learn. And also, use feedback that you get from classmates or faculty members to improve. Don't look at getting feedback negatively. And again, the journey going through medical school is all about growth and becoming the best version of yourself as a future physician. And so, accept that it's okay to feel uncertain or struggle initially. Everyone's adjusting, and really just focus on your own personal progress and your own personal goals. And a big part of adapting to medical school is really building resilience. And for me, when things got really tough or I started to feel the difficulty of adapting, I really reminded myself of why I'm here, and remind yourself of how far you've come to this journey of medicine. Now, I want to talk about some common challenges that you may encounter as a first-year medical student. Before, though, we dive into how to address these solutions, let's talk about them. So, adjusting to medical school is no small feat. It's going to require navigating a rigorous academic environment, adapting to a new pace of life, and managing the pressure to perform. And so, these hurdles are common, but they can feel overwhelming without the right strategies in place. So let's address some of the most common hurdles first-year medical students may face. I think number one is time management. And, when they say that the amount of material that you have in medical school and the time that you have to study doesn't honestly add up. There's a lot of material that you need to study in such a short amount of time. And so time management is really going to become vital, especially because I really do recommend, keeping some of the hobbies that you enjoyed before medical school, and, also having time for a social life. Time management's going to be very important. So the first step is recognizing that it can be an issue. And so signs of, difficulty with time management are going to include if you're missing deadlines, if you're feeling overwhelmed by tasks, or if you're not having enough time for yourself anymore, where you're kind of neglecting your self-care. And so, to address this, first start thinking about how you currently spend your time. And you can do this, using a time tracking app or just writing down your activities for a week to, see if there's any inefficiencies or distractions that may come up in that week where you're kind of just thinking about what you do every day. And another ways that I like to do was I like to use like tools like planners or apps to map out my week in advance. And so for me, I used to use Excel on my laptop where I would have a daily schedule for the whole week and I would kind of map out my activities and allocate specific time for specific tasks. And so building a daily routine and making sure that you also include dedicated blocks for studying, breaks, exercise, and personal time is going to be really important. And I think it really does help with keeping you on time with everything that you have to do. And then for me, I also like to every day prioritize the tasks that I knew that I had to complete or that I wanted to work on. And I used to do these based on the deadline and how important they are. And so for me, I used to think about, okay, what is going to take me more time? And then also, what do I need to get done first? And that would always go on the top of my list. And I think that really helped me stay on top of what I needed to do every day. And then avoid overcommitting. So by setting boundaries and learning to say no to non-essential activities. So something that, you feel like you don't really want to do or you don't have time to do, it's okay sometimes to say no. And a way to do this is to, set realistic goals as well. And then, of course, always reevaluate your routine periodically and adjust as needed. So if you feel like, oh, I actually need more time to study this specific topic, so I'm gonna put more time to studying, or I feel like today I kind of want more of a break, I feel a little more tired, then make sure that you do that for yourself as well. And working on time management now, especially in the beginning of medical school, is gonna help you prepare for the future when you go on further in medical school and then even in residency and afterwards. And as a medical student, balancing clinical rotation, studying, and personal responsibilities is going to become even more critical, especially during your third year of medical school when you start clinical rotations. So developing these strong habits early on is going to help make this transition a lot smoother and help you maintain both your performance and well-being. And I actually found even though third year of medical school, in my opinion, is a little more hectic just because you are doing clinical rotations and you need to find time to study. I found because I had built these time management skills during my first 2 years of medical school, it became a lot easier when I was on rotations to kind of stay on task and be able to complete everything that I needed to and be able to study. And I honestly felt like during my third year of medical school, I had a lot more free time than I did my first 2 years of medical school. So another common problem that you may encounter in medical school is information overload. And I kind of touched on this briefly, that the volume of material in medical school can seem daunting. And so signs of information overload include feeling paralyzed by the amount of content you need to study, struggling to determine what's important to study, and then constantly feeling behind. And honestly, I remember medical school, especially in the beginning, the first few months, I always felt like I was behind. I felt like I could never catch up. And so, to address this, I started to break down material into more manageable chunks and setting realistic daily goals. Instead of saying I'm gonna study, 50 pages, set it to maybe a little less, as well. And then also using spaced repetition systems like Anki really, really helped me with long-term retention without feeling overwhelmed. And then you also want to focus on first, I like to focus on studying the high yield material and then going in and filling in the blanks. And I used to use like first aid, which was really good. It kind of just outlined everything that I felt was high yield. And then you can kind of go in and fill in the blanks or even using UWorld to do, high yield questions. And then avoid spending excessive time on overly detailed information unless it's critical for your understanding. And like I said, you also want to develop a study schedule that includes regular review sessions. So you don't want to just, study a specific topic, in the beginning of the week, and then by the end of the week, you haven't reviewed it because you're going to forget it. And this is going to help prevent accumulation of unreviewed material and helps you stay on track. So I always like to include at the end of the day, like an hour or so, or 30 minutes, however much time I felt like I needed to kind of review what I had studied earlier that week and earlier that day, so I could remember it a lot better. And learning to manage information effectively in medical school is also, again, going to help prepare you for your future responsibilities in your career. And so for me, my top two tips for this is use spaced repetitions like Anki, and then active recall techniques like doing practice questions to help you retain the information effectively, and it's going to help the information feel a lot more manageable. So another thing that I really did struggle with in my first couple months of medical school was imposter syndrome. And many students are going to experience imposter syndrome when they start medical school. And it's, I think, one of the reasons why it's because of the shift of being from the top of your class in undergrad. And now, again, you're surrounded by peers who are also top performers. And so this can lead to feelings of self-doubt and a sense that you don't belong, or you're not as smart as your other peers, or you're not as capable. But it's important to recognize that these thoughts are common. I bet so many other students in your class are feeling the same way as you are, and they actually don't reflect your abilities or potential. And so, like I said, I struggled with this really during my first semester of medical school. I often questioned whether I was smart enough to succeed, especially when I compared myself to other classmates who seemed to grasp the material effortlessly. But over time, I realized that everyone has their own strengths and learning curve. And I began to focus on my own progress rather than comparing myself to others. And I also started to celebrate my small milestones or victories, like, mastering a challenging topic or getting through a tough week. And so if you're feeling this way, try to focus on what you bring to the table. Focus on your unique background, your experiences, and your perspective. And also seek support from other classmates or mentors if needed. And again, I just want to remind you all that you all got into medical school for a specific reason. The admissions committee saw your potential and knew that you could succeed in medical school. And so trust yourself and trust that. And remember, you're not alone. Many students feel this way. And now, another big topic that I want to talk about is stress and burnout. And so these are going to be common in medical school because of the high workload, expectations, and the pressure. So recognizing, though, and managing these feelings early on is going to be very important to maintain your well-being. And so stress can manifest as if you have difficulty focusing, if you're irritable, and then you can also have physical symptoms like a headache. And then burnout is often going to feel like prolonged fatigue and detachment. And honestly, the best way I found to combat stress in my life, especially the first year of medical school, was to prioritize self-care. Like I said, when you do your daily schedule or weekly schedule, make sure you include time for self-care, things that make you happy, hobbies that you enjoy. And so this can also include engaging in regular physical activity. And so exercise is not only going to boost your mood, but also improve your focus and energy levels. And also, establishing boundaries between school and personal time is really going to help you. So like I said, dedicate specific hours to studying and then have protected time for activities that bring you joy or relaxation. And these include, any of your hobbies like spending time with friends or watching your favorite TV show. And then these breaks are going to help you recharge. So then you can come back a lot more focused and ready to learn. So for me, every day I always made sure that I had some time just for myself, whether it was an hour to watch, my favorite like Netflix show that day, or just saving an hour to go out to dinner with friends is really important. And then you can prevent burnout by recognizing its warning signs early. So some of the things that you can look for is if you're feeling persistently drained, cynical, or disengaged, it's time to reassess your routine. And then remember, don't hesitate to reach out for help. Either speak to, a trusted friend or peer or mentor or even a mental health professional. And many also medical schools are going to offer wellness programs or counseling services that are tailored to students. So if you feel like you're feeling burnt out, you might want to also look into those resources. And remember, medical school is a marathon, not a sprint. So it's okay not to always excel or be number one in everything. Again, focus on your long-term goals and take pride in every small accomplishment along the way. And balancing this ambition with self-compassion is going to help you stay resilient throughout your journey. And so again, it's important to make time for activities that recharge you and make you happy, like exercising or hobbies. And again, don't hesitate to seek help if you're struggling, whether it's going to be talking to your friend, counselor, a faculty member. And as we've discussed, recognizing and addressing stress early is going to be critical to maintaining your well-being. And so overall, the key to overcoming challenges in medical school is going to lie in a combination of proactive planning, self-awareness, and leveraging your support system. So time management, recognizing information overload, and addressing emotional hurdles like imposter syndrome and stress are going to be critical skills that not only ensure your success in medical school, but are also going to prepare you for the demands of residency in your future career. And as I've kind of been mentioning, and what I really feel like the theme of this episode is, that medical school is a journey of growth. So you really want to try to embrace its challenges, because it's going to strengthen your ability to adapt and thrive, especially when you do become a resident and a physician. So you really want to stay persistent and trust in your abilities and know that every step you take is leading you closer to achieving your goals and dreams. So now the next thing that I want to talk about is the study strategies that I use during my first year of medical school. But before we dive into these study techniques, let's take a moment to reflect on why effective studying is so crucial in medical school. So like I was previously talking about, the sheer volume of information you're expected to learn and retain is nothing like you've encountered before medical school. And so mastering efficient and effective study strategies isn't just about passing exams, which is obviously very important, but it's also about building the foundation for the knowledge and skills that you're going to use throughout your career as a physician. Because everything that you're learning in your first 2 years of medical school and even your third and fourth year, you're definitely going to use as a physician. And so the way you study now is going to shape your ability to learn quickly and apply information under pressure in clinical settings later on. So with that in mind, let's talk about some of my favorite methods for studying smarter, not harder. Number one is active learning. So what active learning is it involves engaging deeply with the material, like summarizing the material, teaching the material to someone else, like your classmates or friends, or applying the concepts to real life scenarios. And this requires critical thinking, and it often leads to better retention and understanding. On the other hand, passive learning is when you're just like reading or highlighting, and this is just absorbing the information without actively engaging with it. And this is useful for like initial exposures. When you first are starting to learn, you know, a new concept or topic that you've never learned before, this can be effective to like read through it and highlight, but it's going to be less effective for long-term retention. And so kind of comparing active versus active learning is going to promote higher order thinking, and it's going to be much more superior for long-term retention and application for exams and then even in clinical scenarios. And it actively engages your brain in processing, analyzing, and applying the information rather than just memorizing it. And also what I liked to do was summarize the material, because it's by doing that, you're going to create stronger neural connections. And it's going to enhance understanding and memory. And passive learning, on the other hand, is, like I said, a good starting point for getting familiar with the material, but it's not going to challenge your understanding or prepare you for practical applications. And so to maximize learning, you should really combine passive techniques with active methods. And some active methods of learning include spaced repetitions. Like I said, using Anki is a really great resource for that, or group discussions, which you may have in class, you know, you may have in your group discussions, or doing, you know, problem-based learning. And this is going to reinforce the material much more than just reading it and memorizing it. And I kind of just touch on this, but spaced repetition. This is going to be extremely important in medical school. Before medical school, I really hadn't used spaced repetition that much. But in medical school, I found how valuable it is. And so spaced repetition is a learning technique that involves reviewing the information at increasing intervals to reinforce memory and combat forgetting. And so this leverages the brain's natural process of forgetting, and it helps you strengthen neural connections over time because you're going to be revisiting that material just before it's likely to be forgotten. And so tools like Anki or Quizlet can use algorithms to optimize these intervals. And so this will let you focus on topics that need reinforcement rather than focusing on what you already know well. And so, for example, after initially learning a concept, you might review it, the next day, and then maybe 2 days later, and then a week later, and so on. And then, you'll start to review it less frequently the more you know it. And spaced repetition is particularly effective for mastering large volumes of information. So I used it for everything in medical school, but it's really great for like anatomy. If you need to know like any of the bugs or drugs in med for medical school, and you can achieve better long-term retention compared to just cramming or passive review sessions. You also, when you're studying, you want to prioritize high-yield materials. And for me, one of the best resources for high-yield materials is the first aid for the USMLE Step 1 guide. So this book is distills a massive amount of information into concise, easy-to-review summaries, and it's going to focus on the most frequently tested topics. And so it's an excellent tool I found for both course preparation and then board review. So I even used it when I was just reviewing for my medical school exams, and then obviously for Step 1, I definitely did use it. And first aid includes like mnemonics, diagrams, and bullet points, and so it really simplifies complex concepts and improves your retention. And it's useful for identifying foundational knowledge that you'll build on throughout medical school. And so for me, I don't think, first aid is that's the only resource you need. I think you definitely need to build on it. But to make the most of it, I think you should integrate it into your study routine by cross-referencing it with your lecture notes and then adding, additional notes as you learn. And like I said, pair it with active recall techniques and spaced repetition tools like Anki to reinforce the key concepts and ensure long-term retention. And as I said, first aid is an incredible resource, but you should use it alongside other tools and not just your sole source of learning. So you should combine it with question banks, videos, and textbooks to give you more comprehensive understanding of the material. And so for me, I really used to use first aid kind of in the beginning when I'm first studying to kind of familiarize myself with some of these concepts, and then, using question banks and videos to kind of delve deeper. And then I would use first aid at the end right before my exam to kind of just help remind me of the high yield information. And so again, you really want to focus when you're studying on concepts that are most likely to appear on exams or are foundational for future learning, and you want to avoid getting lost in overly detailed textbooks unless it's necessary or there's, a specific topic that you need to know that you can't find on anywhere else. Also, as I previously have mentioned, creating a study schedule, you really want to allocate specific times for each subject or task to create a structured routine. Okay, and like I said, I always like to in the morning, what I liked to do was do a review of lecture material or flashcards. So usually for about an hour a day, I would do Anki in the morning to kind of remind myself of what I reviewed previously. And then I would do a folk, you know, I would do for a few hours focused study session of a specific subject, and then making sure again to schedule breaks in between. And then usually in the afternoon is when I would do my active learning, like practice questions, or if I, was in a study group, I would go to that. And then in the afternoon, in the evening, I kind of like to have some free time for myself. And then at night, just kind of review concepts from earlier in the week and also anything else that I may have not gotten to earlier in the day. So that's kind of a really like brief overview of kind of how my study schedule worked. And again, you want to incorporate regular review sessions to reinforce past topics because this isn't like for me, I remember when I was an undergrad and you would learn the material for the exam and then forget it. In medical school, it doesn't work like that because you're going to keep building on that material. So even something that you learned your first year in medical school, You're going to be using your fourth year of medical school, so you can't really forget anything that you learned. And that's why this regular reviewing is really going to help you reinforce these topics, and it's also going to prevent information overload. And also, another reminder is be flexible but consistent and adjust your study schedule as needed based on, again, your priorities, kind of what you have going on in your life, and your exam timelines. Now, I kind of want to move into talking about the importance of study environments and also talking about studying alone versus in a group. And so, for me, I found both of them useful. I like to study by myself, but I also like to study in a group. And so, studying in a group can be incredibly beneficial for discussing difficult concepts, for teaching each other, and staying motivated. So, it really allows you to hear different perspectives and can help solidify your understanding. So for me, I liked studying in a group because you got different opinions and also different ways that people learn things. And then it's also especially effective when preparing for exams that are going to involve like case-based scenarios. And also group studying could really help keep you accountable and stay on track. But however, when you want to choose group members, it's going to be very important to find people who have similar goals to you and work ethic like you do to avoid distractions, and also people that kind of have the same goals that you do. Now, on the other hand, studying alone allows for complete focus and flexibility to tailor your study schedule because now you're not worrying about, working on somebody else's pace or somebody else's schedule. And they're really great. And studying alone is another really great also because you don't have to worry about other people's learning style. So it can be useful for deep work, like when you're reviewing complex topics or creating detailed notes. So for me, I like to usually study alone in the beginning when I'm first learning a topic, and then really study in a group when it's more like application based. And so if you're someone that's going to thrive on quiet and uninterrupted time, you might also just want to study alone. But both, for me, I found that a combination of both work the best. So, like I said, I used to use group sessions for active discussion and review, and then I used to, study by myself for focused, individualized learning.
And whether you're studying alone or with others, it's going to be very important to choose a distraction-free zone where you can focus. So for me, I liked to study in the library or in study rooms in the library, and I found those really helped me because I was surrounded by other people who are studying, and there's not as many distractions in the library. And then also, as I previously mentioned, I'd liked to study at night because at night I found there was less distractions and it was definitely a lot more quiet. And also, what's going to be really important is experimenting with different settings. So figuring out, do you like to study in the library? Do you like to study on campus? Or are you someone that's going to like to study at home? And then something else that I used was the Pomodoro method. So I would study, I know that, there's two different types. There's one where you study for 25 minutes and then a 5 minute break. But I liked to do, I would study for 50 minutes and then take a 10 minute break at the end. And I really helped that kept me productive and also kept me on task as well. And then also just remember everyone's learning style is different. So you definitely in the beginning want to experiment and figure out what works best for you. Because once you find what works for you, then you want to keep using it. And so throughout this segment, we really covered a variety of strategies to enhance your study experience. So from adopting active learning techniques to leveraging tools like spaced repetition to prioritize high yield material. And then also we talked about creating an effective schedule. So I want the key takeaway I want you to get from this is that effective studying is going to be about quality over quantity. So you want to focus on what's going to help you understand, retain, and apply the knowledge in a meaningful way. And also, as you navigate medical school, remember that building strong study habits now is not only going to help you do well in exams, but it's also going to prepare you for the rigors of clinical practice and your lifelong learning as a physician. And so you definitely want to stay flexible, seek out what works best for your individual needs, and then continuously refine your approach, figuring out what did you know which ways that you like studying, and then just refining them as you go. And with persistence and the right methods, you'll definitely be able to tackle the demands of medical school with confidence.
So let's move on to talking about how to maintain your mental and physical health while you're in medical school. So, as I previously mentioned, the demands of medical training are intense, and it's easy to prioritize academics at the expense of your well-being because obviously you want to do as well as you can in medical school. But neglecting self-care can lead to what we previously discussed, which was burnout. Can also lead to decreased performance and then even long-term health challenges. And prioritizing well-being isn't just about avoiding burnout, but it's also about building resilience and ensuring that you're at your best to care for others. And as a future physician, the habits that you cultivate now will not only help you succeed in medical school, but will also sustain you through residency and then a lifetime of practice. So let's explore some practical ways to integrate self-care into your routine while thriving academically. So remember, your well-being is just as important as your academics. And so here's some of the tips and tricks that I use to kind of find that balance between self-care and taking care of myself and my academics. So for me, sleep is extremely important. I honestly did not care if I had an exam or whatever. I always tried to get at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. And I actually found that when I actually got 7 to 8 hours of sleep, I started to do a lot better in medical school than when I was sleeping less. And so sleep is also crucial for memory consolidation and your overall health. So for me, the way that I ensured that I got adequate sleep in medical school was creating a bedtime routine to wind down. So usually about 15 or 30 minutes a night before I went to bed, I would give myself time to wind down and get ready to sleep. And so during that time, I would usually read, or sometimes I'm not gonna lie, I would like scroll on Instagram or anything, but anything to kind of get you relaxed and get your mind off of whatever's going on in your life and just kind of let you have, a few moments of peace right before you're about to go to sleep. Something else that's really important is your nutrition. So you want to fuel your body with nutritious meals and stay hydrated. And lucky for me, I actually like drinking water, so I would always aim to drink about 8 cups of water a day. And the way that I really did this is whenever I was studying, I would usually keep my water bottle next to me. That way it would be easy access for me, and that way I have no excuse to why I'm not drinking enough water. And then something else for planning nutritious meals, what I found really helped me was meal prepping in advance because this helped me save time and ensure healthy habits. So I would usually plan out my meals for the week and then go grocery shopping on the weekend. That way I don't have an excuse to why I'm not eating healthier. And then also actually cooking for me was another way to relax and de-stress, and it actually became one of my hobbies that I enjoyed doing in medical school. And then exercise is also really important. So I would always try to aim for about 30 minutes of physical activity most days. And again, put that in your planner, put that in your daily schedule. So that way you don't have an excuse to do it because it's already planned out and you've already found time for it. And again, you find an activity that you enjoy doing. It could be doing yoga or running or just taking a walk outside and anything, to get your mind off of school to kind of get you calm down and relaxed. And then stress management is so important. I know that we really touched on this previously, but I think it's so important. I want to touch on it again to remind you all of how important it is. So, you can practice mindfulness or meditation to stay grounded. So you can use apps to help you do that. Also, for me, what I found really helped me was taking short and regular breaks during study sessions, like using the Pomodoro method, and this really helped me stay focused and incorporated rest. And then again, maintaining a healthy work-life balance. So set boundaries between study time and personal time. That's why, even though it sounds counterintuitive, plan out your personal time and make sure that you really stick to that and that you commit to this is my personal time and I'm not going to be studying during this time. And then again, engage in hobbies or activities that you enjoy, like painting or cooking or exercising. And what, to me, what I think is the most important thing for stress management is reaching out when you do need help, if you need help. And for me, that was really talking to my friends and family. But, you know, that could mean many different things for different people, whether that's talking to a trusted friend, a family member, even seeking professional counseling services that are offered by your school. So maintaining mental and physical health during medical school isn't just about surviving the demands of this rigorous environment, but it's also going to be for setting the stage for a sustainable career in medicine. So you really want to prioritize your sleep, nutrition, exercise, and stress management. Because again, these are going to help you in the future. You know, you're building a foundation for resilience and self-awareness that's going to help you throughout your journey. And remember, taking care of yourself is not a distraction from your goals. It's an essential part for you to be able to achieve your goals. So as future physicians, the habits you form now are going to shape how you care for yourself and your patients in years to come. So really prioritize your self-care in medical school, especially in the beginning of medical school. So before we finish up this episode, I just really quickly want to talk about the different resources and support systems that I found throughout medical school and what helped make my journey a lot more manageable. So as you progress throughout medical school, you're going to realize that success isn't just about your own individual effort, but it's also going to require you to tap into different resources and the support systems that are available to you. And building a strong foundation with the right tools and guidance is going to make all the difference in navigating these challenges, especially when you're first starting to adapt to medical school in your first year. So I really wanted to take a moment to talk about some of the key resources and support networks that can really help you adapt to medical school and then thrive afterwards. So first I want to talk about academic support services. So most medical schools are going to offer like tutoring programs or peer counseling or academic coaching that's going to talk about like effective study techniques and give their advice. And so also take advantage of office hours if your professors have any to ask questions and clarify concepts directly with professors. I also recommend joining student organizations once you get into medical school. So joining these clubs or interest groups related to specialties that you're curious about. And these organizations are usually going to like host events. They may also hold like study sessions or networking opportunities. And beyond just the academic and career benefits, participating in student organizations can also help you develop essential leadership skills. So you may, you know, start taking on a leadership role, like serving on the board of the club or organizing events. And this is going to enhance your ability to collaborate and manage time effectively. And these experiences are not only going to strengthen your resume, but they also are going to prepare you for the teamwork and leadership that's required in clinical practice and beyond. And also, student organizations provide a sense of community and support. And these really help you build lasting connections with peers who share similar interests and goals. And this is so important, especially when you first start medical school and you're, you know, at a school where you might not have many friends or anybody to really lean on. These, you know, can really start to become people that you can trust and start to lean on. Also, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the study resources that I used in medical school, because I think that really helps you in your, you know, if you know what resources to use, it's going to really help you study. And, you know, that's really when you start to figure it out is when you first start medical school. So some of the best resources that I used, I'm going to tell you about some of them and then also how to decide if they're going to be right for you. So I think UWorld, in my opinion, is the gold standard for question banks, but I really didn't start to use UWorld as much until step one. I did utilize it a little bit my first year, but what I like about UWorld is it offers like clinically relevant practice questions and it's going to help prepare you for exams and even like step one and step two, so your board exams, but also for clinical practice as well. And so, you know, on top of it, you know, having questions, it's also going to provide explanations That'll help you understand the material and also provide you with common test taking strategies. One of my favorite resources, honestly, in medical school was AMBOSS. So AMBOSS is a includes a, you know, question bank, and it's also an integrated medical library. So it's really great, like, for quick reference if you want to know about a specific, you know, condition or whatever. You can just look it up in AMBOSS and an article will come up. And then also there's practice questions associated with those articles as well. And so it allows you to identify weak areas and then focus your efforts where it matters most. As I mentioned, I used Anki for spaced repetition and memorizing large volumes of information. And then another great resource that I used, especially in my first 2 years of medical school, was Boards and Beyond. So this this had high yield video lectures, so it's a really great resource for understanding concepts. And so I used to use this kind of as my foundation in the beginning when I was trying to learn a new topic, because I'd watch these high yield videos. And then I found for pathology, the best resource was Pathoma, because it simplified the subject and it has, you know, concise video lectures and then also a book. So it's a really great tool for mastering high yield pathology topics. And then another resource that I used closer to the end of my second year of medical school was actually online med ed. And so this is actually geared more toward clinical learning, and it can help bridge the gap between preclinical and clinical years. Now there's, like I said, there's so many different study tools. I'm sure there are so many other ones that I didn't even mention. These were kind of the ones that I really used in medical school. But you definitely want to find what's going to work for you. And the way that you do this is, first, you want to evaluate your learning style. So are you more of a visual learner, which I was? And since I'm more of a visual learner, I like to watch videos. So I liked Boards and Beyond or Pathoma for that. And then if you prefer active learning, then you may prefer something like Anki and UWorld over watching videos. Something else is, consider your goals. Are you preparing for a board exam? Because I used to use UWorld and AMBOSS, but when I'm understanding, you know, during my really first year of medical school, I mainly use Boards and Beyond and Pathoma over like UWorld. And then you want to test out these resources and figure out what works for you. And what's great is a lot of these platforms do offer free trials or sample content, so that way you can see before you pay for it, is this really going to work for you? And then avoid overloading. So it's tempting to try to use everything. And honestly, in medical school, I kind of in the beginning bought all of these resources and then I didn't end up using half of it. So you really want to focus on a few high quality resources to prevent yourself from being overwhelmed. Because like I said, there's so many resources out there. And honestly, there's not enough time to be able to use every single resource out there. So really focus on a few resources, and that's really going to yield better results in trying to spread yourself thin and trying to watch, you know, so many different videos about the same topic on different resources. And also combining these resources with your study routine is going to help you cover your coursework comprehensively and efficiently. Okay, and so some other resources that I've learned about medical school, which I think are really important, is peer and faculty mentorship. So you really want to connect with upperclassmen or faculty advisors that are going to help provide you guidance and insight. And their experiences can help you navigate, you know, any of these challenges that you might be having in your first year of medical school. Also, I know I talked about this a lot, but there are so many great time management tools. So some apps like Google Calendar or Calendar app on your phone can really help you plan your schedule and stay on top of deadlines. And then also building a support system is going to be essential in medical school. So you really want to stay connected with your family and friends during this time. And these relationships are also going to remind you of your life outside of medicine and help you maintain a sense of identity and perspective. And so I know that balancing these connections can be tricky because you are so busy with medical school, so busy with studying, that sometimes it can be very hard to keep up these friendships. But it's very important that you try to. And so for me, the way that I did that is I would always, you know, you can schedule regular phone call or video calls with your family or your friends to check in and provide updates. So, like I said, and if possible, set aside time to visit or host loved ones over during break. So, whenever I had a break in medical school, I used to try to go home as much as I can because that really just helped me kind of recharge and helped me come back even better. And so that was really important was, whenever I had a break in medical school, I would definitely try to go home, see my friends, see my family. And if your family or your friends are located locally where your medical school is, then plan, casual get-togethers or meals to recharge, and to see your family and friends. And remember, maintaining these relationships isn't a distraction, but it's actually a source of support. And they're honestly going to help you thrive and help you stay grounded throughout your journey. And so in this segment, we really explored the importance of different academic resources, about building mentor relationships, and leveraging both wellness programs and peer support. And like I said, the journey through medical school is demanding, but these tools and connections are here to ease that path. And remember, success is not about doing it alone. It's about knowing when to reach out for help. So that's why it's so important to maintain these friendships and to maintain these bonds with your family during medical school. So, as we bring this episode to a close, I first wanted to take a moment before I end to reflect on my first year of medical school and how much have I grown through the process. So, like I said, now I'm a fourth-year medical student, and this year has really been a year of self-reflection for me and kind of looking back on my journey in medicine. And when I look back, I realize how many challenges I really did have during my first year in medical school, but how far I've come from that. And like I said, the first year of medical school is not easy. It's really a time of immense learning, both academically and personally. And during this time, I did struggle with, time management, self-doubt, and balancing the demands of school with my own well-being. But now looking back, I can see those challenges as opportunities that help me build resilience and adaptability. And one of the biggest lessons that I learned during this time was that growth comes from stepping out of your comfort zone. And really, that first year of medical school, because of it, I've really stepped a lot more out of my comfort zone than I thought I would. And in those moments of uncertainty, and when, I felt overwhelmed by the workload or I doubted my own abilities, I discovered the value of perseverance. And I realized that it's okay to ask for help and to lean on friends, family, and peers during this time. And so, for anyone feeling the weight of the first year, let me reassure you, it honestly does get better. For me, like I said, medical school every year just kept getting better. And as you continue through medical school, you're gonna find what works for you, you're going to refine your study strategies, and you're going to gain the confidence in your abilities. And remember, the challenges that you're facing now are shaping you into the future physician that you want to be. So celebrate your progress, no matter how small it is, and remind yourself of why you even started this process and why you wanted to go to medical school. So, my final piece of advice to you all is embrace this process. Medical school is not just about learning medicine, but it's really an opportunity to grow as a person, develop resilience, and build the foundation for your future career. So I just wanted to thank you all for joining me on the Sink or Swim podcast. Throughout this episode, we've covered a lot of different topics. We talked about how to adapt to the challenges of the first year of medical school, how to master time management and study strategies, the importance of maintaining your mental health and physical health, and then the different resources and support systems that are available to you in medical school. So I really want to thank you all for listening to this episode. And good luck during your first year of medical school and beyond.